prevailing wage, which is a set minimum tax wage throughout the state.
Without that, the hard costs are a lot cheaper typically without the prevailing wage.
So under the time period of spring 2012 to summer 2012, previously we had San Marcos Elementary. It did not occur.
Next slide.
I thought you were saying next slide. I know it's there.
So, San Marcos Elementary School, that's where you're looking. You see the San Marcos Elementary on the first?
Was it spent in 2012? Or it wasn't spent?
No,
we didn't spend any money.
We didn't spend any Prop K dollars. So that was a mistake from the last presentation we gave to you all. We did not spend Prop K dollars. San Marcos Elementary, zero on Prop K dollars.
Okay, so then that was the typo.
That's correct.
Throw that sheet out.
That's correct.
It was a rush job and we shouldn't have done it. So.
Okay.
Okay. Does that help clarify?
For now.
For now. So again, the E-rate dollars, and I'll go through this. You know, the bottom line here is we spent $223 million worth of Prop K funds. The E-rate funds were $1 million. Just looking at the totals at the bottom. So the total project cost was $1.4 million, and we only used $223 of Prop K.
$223,000.
So we were able to stretch that $223 that much further. So that's kind of the point of this slide. If we are researching and trying to get other grants, other funding sources, even though the money's not coming from the state, we are researching those other ways to stretch the Prop K dollars as far as we can.
Now, I want to speak to the two items there, the 89 and the 18. And I didn't report to you because I just kind of forgot about it. Didn't include it. It wasn't like I was trying to keep anything from you. I just allowed them to use it and just kind of forgot that they used Prop K funds for that, and or it would have been on your reports.
No, and what was the time frame for?
12-13.
On the far right column.
So those would not have been covered by the most recent audit.
No. That audit was for 10-11. So this new one's coming up. That'll cover that.
And I noticed one of the things they do, they don't check every expenditure they do of testing. Mm-hmm. So now that we're sort of going into different projects, you know, I think we want to be sure that they're testing tests expenditures from every project, mm-hmm. not, you know, just all.
Oh, yes. They have their own little random way, but they also look at the projects individually. And they even go out and look at them. You know, I mean, Kathy took them on a tour, I think. And, mm-hmm. and so, yeah, they do get out of the office, believe it or not, for accountants. So.
So, Gary and Corey, when was the Prop K fund spent at Alvin Dunn, Woodland, and San Marcos? Was it in spring of 2012?
I can't remember when the Alvin Dunn. The Woodland Park, that was like, I want to say October 2012.
18,000 in October?
Yeah.
That's outside the summer of 2012 of the previous slide, and then this current slide for Alvin Dunn, Woodland Park Middle School shows the time frame of spring 2012 to summer 2012.
A lot of the confusion there is really when you're doing a process like this, it can take up to a year, even though the construction may be 2 to 3 months long. So that's probably why the discrepancy is there, because when you use some of the dollars for planning, it's in a whole different season when you actually use the dollars for construction.
So if you were to put a month to it, what would the month be?
I don't know.
Since we were overseeing the funds, being sure that they're spent appropriately, the audit report ended fiscal year June 30th, 2012. Mm-hmm. None of the funds outside of San Marcos High was reported in that.
Yeah, none of this was done in 11-12.
So June of 30th, 2012, there were no funds spent.
On these projects?
On these projects.
No.
So we do want to be sure that once you start expenditures, that it starts showing up in reports.
So then the spring 2012 is incorrect, because spring would mean in the period of March, right?
That's
April,
correct.
May.
Again, that may have been the beginning of the planning process, which typically starts in-house, so there's not a whole lot of expenditures when the planning starts in-house.
Okay.
That's what I was trying to say. The actual project, life of the project is a lot longer than just
it's kind of like the high school. We probably started in 2009.
Okay.
Right.
Planning. It took so long.
Any other questions on this slide? So Woodland Park information, the scope of work we mentioned last time is modernized two classrooms. The majority of what's happening here is the program at Woodland Park for Art has expanded beyond what they have. And so there was a need for implementing larger facilities for that program. It's grown so big. So that's why there was an intention to go into Woodland Park and do this work here. So that was one of the pieces. The other piece was we're talking about the water intrusion repair. This particular campus has a lot of water underground, and so there's been water intrusion in the ground. So we're going through and trying to facilitate new means to prevent that from happening. So there was a need at this campus in two different ways, and that's why this became one of the forefronts of the Prop K dollars. So phase one, we did some of the flooring issues, took care of some of the flooring issues and tape modifications. We finalized the DSA related modifications, got their approval just recently, and again, just this week started on the major construction portion of this project. The budget for it is the $988. That's hard costs and soft costs. The hard cost, the construction bid, $786 is the current hard cost for that project. Okay. Any questions?
And we will be going out to bid for five wells?
Correct.
And one would be on this campus. So we're going to, we put two in the district, and so far they're doing very well. So
yeah.
We're putting one at the San Marcos High as a part of that project. And instead of piecemeal, he's just going out to bid for four wells, and one would be here, and there's water. You practically stick a shovel in the ground, and you get water here. I'm spending a fortune on water in this school. So, but as a segue, we're looking into money we're getting from Prop 39 funds to see if it'll qualify. I don't think it will, but we're going to try.
Is that water used for irrigation or
yeah.
what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's about all it can be. It's actually very good water for irrigation because so much of our groundwater is contaminated with fertilizer. So you eliminate fertilizer and
two for one.
Water.
That's good.
And we bought a piece of land near Twin Oaks to expand the elementary site, and it had a well on it, producing 100 gallons a minute. So now we just have to get the water from the well to the ball fields. But there's water, and the city has a lot of wells.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try to capitalize on it.
San Marcos Elementary has. San Marcos Elementary is doing very well.
Yes. All I do is pay for the
stick
it that we don't use. But we've been using it all. It's been great. Probably it'll pay for itself in 6 years.
Less.
Pardon me?
Less with the new increases.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
a lot of rain. Having a harder sticker price on the electricity increases right now. So.
Prop 39 definition, just in case you're not familiar, it's approved by the voters back in November. It's an energy-related grant source from the state. Guidelines just came out the last couple weeks, so people are getting really familiar on how to get that money. This district actually is predictably eligible for up to $1 million of that grant. So we're going to keep finding out more and trying to bring that into the puzzle.
Incorporated
as far as a full program, Prop K dollars, E-rate dollars, Prop 39 dollars, state funding. It's a program, so we're going to keep trying to stretch those dollars as far as we can.
Now,
will
that the energy money, will that be spent on solar, heating, insulation?
You have to come up with a plan, then you have to get it approved before you get the money. Is that correct?
That's correct. There are speculations that it's supposed to be used for those sources, but we have to develop a plan and put it out there.
I think we just got the regulations this week.
We just got the regulations 2 weeks ago.
On what will qualify. So I'll give you an example. At San Marcos High School, we didn't put in solar, but the gym is set up that you can put solar.
Yes.
Is that a correct statement?
Yeah.
So if the money's there, we might be able to do that.
The majority of the intent was for changing out old lights and, really doing the smaller, the 5% savings items as opposed to big solar, but they were also allow things like that. So we're going to just keep pushing the envelope as far as we can.
The city has been saving oodles of money with their LED conversions. And I hope that would become a big thing. And you have solar heating works pretty well, too.
We'll see the results at the high school as well, because there's a lot of LED there, so we'll be able to compare the past to the future and see how true that really is. Okay. Last one I have here is just a general overview of the Prop K dollars to date. So the bond resources, 207. We previously discussed that. Interest to date from June 30 is 1.2 million. For Tom, here's another discrepancy. I think in the last presentation, we said June 30, and it was actually as of January. So
no, March.
Or excuse me, March. So this has the same date on it. You'll see a different number, but that's because it should have said March last time.
Yeah. We haven't got September's yet. It's always, by the time September rolls around, it's like November.
So total resources to date, 208 million. How it's been utilized for project budget, we have 180 for the high school with expenditures to date at 120. Again, Kathy will go more into detail on that on the high school. Technology infrastructure, here's the 20 million. It's a combination of the 19.7 that you see plus the 223,000. So that gets your entire 20 million. To date, expenditures to date are just next to that. And then the Woodland Park project budget expenditures to date. So we have 7.2 million left that we can utilize. We're kind of doing a hold until we figure out what's happening with the tax rate to see how we integrate all that into each other. So that's the general idea right now. And that's my presentation. Any other questions?
Okay. We're going to bring Kathy in and she can give you a more detailed update.
I have a question on the expenditures.
Uh-huh.
We pay that what, monthly with SARDI?
Yeah, about that on the construction, yes.
All right. Is that based on billings that he has or billings that he's
there
paid?
You go.
It's based on the construction completed to a specific date and Lusardi says, okay, subcontractor, give me your billing through, you know, the 15th of the month. And then Lusardi reviews through those billings, you know, is it being billed correctly? Do they really have all those materials on site? Did they really finish everything on the third floor of the building? And so it's all validated there. And then the invoice comes to another team, which is the architect, myself, and the inspector. We review just another set of eyes off questions.
It's probably 3 weeks behind. The time that
yes, it is.
Get, yeah. You know. And then we have an auditor looking at those.
Yes.
Our own auditor that we hired to look at the subcontract just to make sure they're following the contract and so forth.
Okay, so you have those reports.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, we have they validate those and we pay them out once a month. And
mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I have a quick question. Earlier you mentioned a $7 million building at San Diego Elementary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where is that?
It's not Prop K.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was growth. That I paid pretty much out of growth funds. So they don't stop growing out there.
There's a lot more growing going on right now.
Yes, yeah. There is.
It's not going to work.
And quite honestly, the school district, while she's setting up, that's a good thing.
What?
To be on the other end where you're declining, it's painful.
No, it's not.
Because I was real property manager in Palo Alto, and they were going through the opposite. It's all so expensive to buy a house in Palo Alto. Families couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
So it was all empty nesters, and the school enrollment was declining. So I was buying up school sites and working with the city. Well, how are we going to use them?
I had a colleague many years ago.
I was just using
Newport
arrow
Beach
on the keyboard.
He was leasing them out. He was selling them, and the state was going, as you were saying, wait a minute, how can we get a piece of that? And they were saying, it's like the rules on what you could use that money for when you sell it. They lost.
There's
they
another arrow down in this corner.
There.
See
and
it down there?
The gray.
The gray one, right there.
Ah, okay.
Nope.
No.
Try it with your mouse.
Is the mouse kind of dead?
Well, we can't get it to move this slide.
Yeah,
there. There.
There
you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep up with our technology. this is San Marcos High School's September 30th. Within 4 to 5 days, these pictures are old. They are moving so quickly out there. The purpose more of this is just to kind of go over where we are on the project. We have turned over the gymnasium and the applied arts building. Students are going to school here and enjoying
their activities. They have full use of the stadium, and as of last Friday night, which was homecoming, had full use of the concessions, press box, restrooms on the home side, and concessions and restrooms on the visitor side. And we've had very positive response from that. Besides, they also had a great time at the football game. But as you can see, we've occupied a large portion of this, and we also have our central plant in full operation and our maintenance building, and they are working out of that now full time. Building A, the main administration and classroom building, is coming right along, as is the theater arts building. Our inner courtyard should be planted by the 1st of December. We are moving all through the inner quad with our concrete. You can see it coming across here, down. It's going to be coming across here and here. And the festival court, as you come into the school, you'll be able to walk down that festival court right in to the gymnasium, and then we'll have the concrete all across here and across this westerly side. That will be what will be done by January 13th. And that's when staff will be at the school on January 13th. Students come back on January 14th. We'll have this fenced off out front because we still need to complete the front parking lot, parking lots here, and remove all of the relocatables, and then complete all the fields. So we are on schedule at this point in time. If you would help us out and ask for rain after January 14th, that would always be most helpful.
Do an anti-rain dance.
Yeah, there you go. So the right-hand turn lane with two pricing is completed out in front of the school. We're just finishing up the final punch list items there. That won't be finished off until we get into the interior and start finishing off that road. For students to come back, we need bus access. We need emergency access. We need access for visitors, administration. We will have this front loop completed, but it's not going to be there for everyone to be using. We're going to continue with the parking at the San Marcos lot, Discovery lot, and Pacific lot. That will continue on until next summer when school starts. So that is where our project is at this time. Do you have any questions on this part?
The parking?
Yes.
When the school starts, we're going to reduce parking?
No.
I didn't quite understand.
Okay. The parking for January is staying the same as it is today.
Okay.
Same number of parking places.
Off-site.
When school opens next summer in August, I'll show you the next. This is the parking plan that will be ready when school starts in August. We've had a challenge with the parking for two reasons. One was because the city wanted the right-hand turn lane added, which we agreed was a good idea. It just kind of helps move cars and get them onto the site. And they also had said, let's have another parking lot over here, dispersing cars, trying to spread it out, reduce the impact on San Marcos Boulevard. And as everyone knows, we had our Native American find up in this corner. So that took away more parking places. So we started studying, what can we do? We looked at possibility of building a parking structure on site. That got to be very expensive. We looked at land purchases around the school where it would be safe for students to travel, you know, after they park their car, what have you. We also needed to look at drop-off, pickup. How was that going to work out? And as we looked at all this, talked with the city of San Marcos, we talked with the Native Americans, what we have come up with is a new plan.
And this new plan puts a softball field up in this corner, and that kind of flows, you know, with the grass, what have you, into this Native American garden. And so that will work out very well. We took the tennis courts that were planned for up here, placed them down below where this softball field was going to be. So this way we have all of our sports together coming up, and we also have all of our parking together. And down here you have your baseball field, your junior varsity baseball. This will be junior varsity softball as of this afternoon, and varsity baseball, varsity softball out here.
Well, that's part of the JV, but one thing you didn't mention, when we were starting this plan too with the city, they were going to take a piece of that, what is now the new softball field, away and put a wider right-hand turn lane there. And we didn't, and we found out probably 4 weeks ago that they decided not to do that. They're going to redo that corner, but they're not going to take our property. That changed our mind, too. We couldn't fit a softball field in there before if they were going to take almost a width of a street in there. So now it barely fits in.
Now, San Marcos Boulevard, the right-of-way is expanded from something like 84 feet to 176 feet. That sort of sounds like they're going to have to expand fully north rather than south.
I don't know. They'd have to take away those huge electric poles, too. They have to bury those.
Yeah, they get rid of Restaurant Row and Edwards
Theater. Again, you know, what the city does, as long as if it affects me, great. If it doesn't, you know, that's another issue.
It is another issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's basically the parking is going to be like it was before anyway, because the tennis courts were in the back before.
Yes.
That's correct.
So it's just basically going back to the way it was. Mm-hmm.
It's going back to a similar way, mm-hmm. but there will be more parking on site. We're looking at a final number of around 700 to 740 parking places. We're still refining the last bit of this upper parking lot up here. So,
how many did we have before? Even when we removed all the portables?
We had about 460 at that point. Yeah. And then the first plans, we were around 556.
Yeah.
And so it's gone back and forth a little bit, but now we're just maximizing the site. We had even thought of putting parking down here, but decided it was too costly, and it would be dangerous getting cars on and off there, so we did not put any cars down in this area.
What are the effects on cost of the overall modification, if any?
For all the parking.
Versus the previous plan, yeah.
And fields. We're looking at about $1.2 million on this. Luckily, as you saw from the aerial, we haven't even constructed any of this or down into here, so a lot of the costs are being, you know, they're not being duplicated. We were going to be going through the field out here also as part of our value engineering, and we needed to reduce that budget by about $400,000. So you see in here is also those costs that we were already planning on spending. So there is some duplication, but it's duplication in that it's the first time cost, but it was a prior approved project.
It's our other plan of trying to buy the property that we're renting now. It's like it just kept going up and up and up. And so with our luck, if we had Indian stuff on this side, we'd probably find Indian stuff on the other side. And then the restrictions on widening the street and then the creek width that we had to leave, it just was getting impossible. So we were only going to get 105 spots out of that, and it was probably going to cost us in excess of $3 million by the time we were done. And the city really didn't want it there anyway. It just wasn't pretty. So this is 1.2. What does it say?
How much was the parking structures going to cost per space? Do you have a figure on that?
I don't have a per space, but we were $4.5 million on up, depending on how many parking spaces.
To get 260, the estimate was $8 million.
Yeah.
$260 million?
Yeah, it's, the thing is, you know, you'd have to make the structure underneath so strong to make, you know, and then we were going to either going to go to a third story or subterranean mm-hmm. to get 260 spaces. So we just said go back to the drawing board and squeeze out as much as you can. And so yeah. we got it up to 740, mm-hmm. somewhere in there. So
that's more than Mission Hills High School has. Mission Hills has about 670. And if you drive by there, almost any day, you see plenty of extra parking places around. So we feel that this parking will be sufficient for the student body at San Marcos High School.
That is a screaming buy. Most parking places are cost $25,000 to $50,000 per space.
Well, that was just construction. That didn't include soft costs, and it didn't include running it by DSA. You know what happened when we ran our building by DSA?
Right.
It probably would be much higher. So that was Lissardi guessing on what they usually spend when they do it for a business.
Commercial.
You know, and you know how, well, DSA wants it to withstand an atomic bomb, so I can only imagine how where it went from there. So when they started running into 8 million, I don't have 8 million, I don't have 5 million. So this is where it was
now
the best result.
Neighborhood, of course, is upset about the parking situation. The county is saying they're going to take the no restricted parking signs down in 2014. Now, there was some discussion about the school district. I think Mr. Knowles, he's not here. Oh, yeah. Was mentioning that you would support keeping those signs in place.
I did not say that, but continue with your explanation.
Okay. If I misunderstood, I'd like someone's understanding, but it would, I think the residents would be very pleased if those signs do not disappear just when they're most needed and this school becomes a nuisance again.
It wouldn't really matter to us. Mm-hmm. So if the community wants it, we're not going to say don't do that because we don't really want it. People parking over there to begin with.
Well, they're looking at expanding it to no parking or stopping from 2 to 4 p.m.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be against it, you know.
I think that's something we'll have to bring up from the school board.
When the situation came up a year and a half ago, the school district did support placing the signs there, and we also placed additional security people there to assist in making sure traffic kept flowing, kids weren't loitering, what have you, during the times when the kids came to school and the time when the kids went home.
And it's working, thank you.
Yeah, you just want to make sure
it's working.
Stays in place,
right?
And well, I'm not gonna promise you I'm going to keep security guys down there. We don't have that kind of funding, but we cover the campus.
Yeah.
It's going to be a much bigger campus with, you know, more places to, from nooks and crannies up there in the buildings to get lost in. So.
Stairwells.
Yeah. And there's a lot of cameras. How many cameras do we have on there?
Oh, we have about 80 cameras.
Yeah,
wow.
All over the campus. So. Mm-hmm. Not that we have somebody, it gets misread. We don't have somebody looking at 28 screens, you know, saying, okay, go to quadrant 3. We just don't. But it's more about, you know, okay, we got the proof on camera here that you did X, and that's what it's
called. They don't know that you don't have it.
Yeah, they don't know. Well,
what they don't know.
I have colleagues that put up some placebos in some of their campuses, and it works real well.
Yeah. So. I have a quick question. I know this is the parking thing, but is there a pool on this campus?
No.
No, there isn't.
Okay.
And Gary can speak to a pool.
Gary doesn't like pools.
Okay.
They are very expensive.
Okay.
They are literally a pool where money goes in.
Right.
The city has one.
Well, they're not big enough.
Right
for
now,
us
right now the students are practicing. They're sharing the pool at Palomar, so these students are getting home at like 10 o'clock at night because that's the only time.
We were going to go in with Cal State if they ever get money.
Oh.
Yeah, but their money has to come from donate. They have to find donors
right.
for there. So if you guys have money that you want your name on a pool, we will take it. But. They are, just to operate one, it's unbelievable.
Right.
I've had to operate several at high schools, and you had guards there from 6 in the morning to 6 at night, and people monitoring and, right. you know, that sort of thing. And the utilities and costs were unbelievable. So sharing it at Palomar, I know it's a pain, but it's probably less than 10%.
Well, it's not a pain for me. My daughter's five, but yeah. I just...